Hi, and welcome to Wild and Woke Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Susan.
Every Monday, we talk about true crime, conspiracies, paranormal phenomena, and everything weird or unexplained. I think you go first.
I was going to ask you how you, do you want to do, are we just going to, how are we doing this since we're going to record two episodes? What's your thought process?
Oh, definitely forgot about that. So I have three cryptids.
I mean, we don't have to, we can take a week off, but I know it personally, three people that are like, I hate it when you guys take weeks off.
No, I don't think we would even have to, because so if we can record twice this week, as long as I get them edited, I mean, we'll be fine. And okay. I have time to edit this week.
Okay, so here's what I want to know. Do you want to hear about a true crime? Or do you want to hear about a mystery kind of thing?
Mystery. Okay. Give it to me.
Here it is. We will do the mystery. So both of these topics are somewhat movie tie-ins.
Oh.
Kind of accidental, yet it really worked out.
It's funny because one of my cryptids is like a movie. Like, they did a lot of movies on him. But anyway, go ahead.
I like it. So the movie tie-in on this one is Titanic. And it's just a small tie-in, really. Yes. I just kind of noticed that both of these have movie tie-ins. So it's like, gotta bring that up.
Yeah.
So, you know, in Titanic, the diamond that she has, the stone that she has, I think it's actually a sapphire, mm-hmm. is called the Heart of the Ocean. But the inspiration for that comes from the Hope Diamond. And the Hope Diamond has this whole long history of curses attached to it.
Okay, what is the Hope Diamond? It sounds familiar.
It's, so, where it originally came from, there's a little bit of controversy as to which story is true and which story is kind of made up later on. Mm-hmm. The legend is that it was initially stolen from the statue of a Hindu deity, where it was a decoration like on the forehead of the statue, and it was stolen. And that's where it originally came from, which is kind of where the whole there's a curse on this diamond
mm-hmm. yeah.
started. There's some question about whether or not that's if it was stolen or if it just came from that at the time, India is the only place that diamonds were being mined.
Mm-hmm.
So it was initially a huge, 115 carat blue diamond. And when it was originally acquired in the mid 1600s, 1666, it was still pretty rough cut. It wasn't like faceted or shiny or any of those things. The legend is that because it was stolen, that the temple put a curse on the gem.
Mm.
And at the time they called it. So it's, here's what I'm not 100% convinced that these are all the same stone, because it keeps hitting, it keeps changing hands and it keeps being recut and recut. And that after reading all of this, I'm like, I 100% thought it's it went from rough cut to being what it looks like now.
Yeah.
Not the case. So I'm not even totally convinced that these are all the same stone. So like I said, when he first acquired it in India, it was 116 carats rough cut. And the person's name who first acquired it, stole it or bought it, who knows? His last name is Tavernier, so it was at that time called the Tavernier Blue. He sold the diamond to King Louis XIV, and there were rumors that Tavernier got a fever after returning from selling the stone and died, and then was like carried off by wild dogs. Which is a really good story if the original guy who stole slash bought the original diamond was, you know, had some horrible end. But technically that's not what happened, because he actually died in Russia when he was like 84 years old.
Ooh, that Sonic. What'd you get?
Strawberry Dr. Pepper.
Oh, you've told me about that. You know what? I tried that.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't, because I was just told about Strawberry Dr. Pepper.
You told me about Strawberry Dr. Pepper because I tried it at Moe's a few weeks ago, and I was like, this is amazing.
Somebody told me about it. They were talking about, like, what's your go-to Sonic drink, and she's like, Strawberry Dr. Pepper. I'm like, oh, whoa.
My husband gets watermelon Coke.
Okay, wait. Do they actually have watermelon flavor?
I think it's watermelon Diet Coke.
The person that said something to me about something watermelon from Sonic, but like if you go to order, there's no watermelon flavor.
Maybe it's just like a secret thing. I don't know.
I was going to say, maybe it's like some combination of other flavors.
Yeah. We always, always, always get a Route 44 raspberry tea. It's so good.
I like their peach tea.
Yeah, I used to get their peach, and then I tried the raspberry, and I was like, this is good, too. Anyway, I just saw your Sonic cup, so I had to know.
That's okay. It gets sold by Tavernier, and the curse story says that he was either killed by dogs or had a fever and died and then was carried off by dogs in India. Mm-hmm. Not real. So already the curse thing's kind of breaking down a little bit for me. I mean, I still like the story.
Yeah.
And there are some weird, I mean, you know, but like I said, how many times does something change hands before you stop worrying about whether or not it's cursed because someone that used to have it dies?
And how many times does the story change based on, like, who's telling it?
So, they think that when Cartier acquires the diamond somewhere down the line, that he actually is the one who ends up kind of creating the curse story. Cartier acquires the diamond. At the time, one of the brothers was enchanted with a novel called The Moonstone. And in that story, a large yellow diamond had formed at the eye of an idol of a Hindu deity in a temple in India. And the diamond in the story embodied the power of the god. And it was looted, and it was like a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
Like why you don't steal from temples. I mean,
duh.
It seems like we should probably know this, but you know. So that's kind of just in an attempt to create some interest around this diamond that they've acquired that's worth a fortune. Mm-hmm. Or several fortunes. He kind of created this story and pieced together some of the history of the actual diamond, but also heavily influenced by this novel.
Right.
And like I said, it keeps, as it changed hands, I was trying to find the size that it is when the Cartiers have it. Every time it changes hands, it gets cut again. So it started out at 116 carats. And the version of it that's now on display, the way that Cartier set it, is 45.5 carats.
Why would they keep cutting it? Like, I don't understand that. I mean,
Going from a raw gem to a, like, cut faceted gem, you're obviously going to lose carat weight.
Yeah.
So I kind of get it, like, from the raw version to, you know, the more traditionally jewelry type version.
Right.
I get that. But at this point, it's, like, less than half of what it started out as. Which is why, and it keeps sort of, I'm going to put air quotes around changing color. Because blue is weird in that the language used to describe blue is really, really new as far as history goes.
Really? Tell me more about that. That sounds crazy. So, I don't understand that.
I wish I had it in front of me. There was like a point in time at which there's actually a word for blue. Like, there were no words for blue in fairly recent memory.
Wow.
People didn't describe the ocean as blue. It was described a lot of ways, but not as blue. So this stone was originally described as violet, which we would think of as really purple.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was actually a word used to describe a shade of blue. So I don't know if it's the language that's the reason it seems like it changes color, or if it's the fact that, I mean, of course, as you cut and facet a stone, more light comes through, it does change what the color appears. So I don't know if it's a combination of those two things.
Yeah.
But at any rate, so the curses, even though they think that Cartier kind of fabricated the initial curse story, and the parts of it that come from the very beginning don't really check out. As far as being stolen, it probably wasn't stolen.
Oh. Do you think that... Wait, is Cartier a person?
Yeah. Okay. It was actually their brothers that...
Okay.
...were the founders of that company.
Well, I knew it was a company, but I didn't know if it was, like, named after a person. You know, you think they just did it for publicity?
Mm-hmm. That's the theory. But there are some things that it's attached to a fair amount of tragedy.
Yeah.
So Louis XIV has it. But then, so he's the first one to have it cut down. So when he has it cut from into the, at one point it was kind of triangle shaped almost.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was when it was part of the French royal jewels.
So when it's cut down like that, was it a piece of jewelry specifically or just a diamond?
So it's been set a lot of different ways. Louis XIV has it cut from the rough, like the raw, to a 67 carat sort of, I think it's cushion cut, but, and I can't remember the name of that, that shape has a name and I don't remember what it is. At the time it was valued at what in today's money at $3.6 million.
Damn.
And Louis XIV wore it just, either from a ribbon, just hanging on his neck on a ribbon, or in a brooch.
Wow.
And just then it was passed down as part of the crown jewels and was part of the French, you know, official royal costuming. I'm sure they don't call it costuming.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just insane to me that this dude's just wearing this. You know, I know it's not $3.6 million back then, but he's just like got it on a ribbon around his neck.
It would have been worth the equivalent of you know what I'm saying? Like, it was super valuable even.
That blows my mind.
67 carats. So that when he had it, it was 67 carats. 67 carats?
My ring, I'm trying to like, is 1 point something. And it is like,
67 carats is like...
That's huge!
Or, it's probably like the size of like a walnut.
Yeah, around that.
It is huge.
It had to be so heavy. So heavy.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so one, so it was supposedly worn by Marie Antoinette, but there's not any, like, actual evidence of that.
It's just someone said it.
Yeah, and I mean, it could have been, like, it was part of the crown jewels. Mm-hmm. It could have been worn by her. But when Marie Antoinette and her husband were imprisoned during the French Revolution, the crown jewels were put in a warehouse and publicly exhibited. And then in 1792, they were stolen. So when Napoleon became emperor, one of the things he wanted to do was recover all of the French crown jewels, including the blue diamond. But the only one he couldn't find was the blue diamond.
Wow. So they had no clue who stole it. No hint.
I don't know if, I mean, they found some of them, so I don't know if they...
It was just, yeah.
I mean, it was, that's, like, still revolutionary France. Like, the crown jewels weren't, like, nobody was protecting that kind of stuff.
Right. I feel like there's something that I watched that involved the Hope Diamond, but I can't remember what it, maybe it was Titanic. Did they call it the Hope Diamond?
No, in Titanic, they call it the Heart of the Ocean.
Yeah.
But... like, the way that it definitely was inspired by the Hope Diamond and the whole kind of tie-in to the curse.
Yeah.
Being, you know, they make such a point with this necklace and it being on the Titanic and the whole, it's definitely it's a pretty subtle tie-in because they don't call it that, but it looks like it.
Okay, so Napoleon could not find it.
You can't find it. So then 20 years later, this right here is why I'm like, is this the same? Is this really the same stone? 20 years later, a smaller, now 45 carat blue diamond turned up in London in 1812 in the possession of an English diamond merchant named Daniel Eliason. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't say where it came from. So at this point, it's basically just assumed that it's this diamond.
Yeah.
This is why I'm like, is this even the real one or is the real one still like hanging out somewhere?
Well, so with the blue diamond, how rare are they? I mean, do you know?
Okay, so, I mean, you know diamonds aren't rare at all, right?
Okay, no, I didn't know that.
Okay. Well...
because I always see, like, colored diamonds, and I assume they're rare.
The De Beers Company is basically single-handedly responsible for overvaluing diamonds. Diamonds are not remotely the most rare jewel. They're not even terribly rare.
Okay.
De Beers, in fact, has literal vaults full of diamonds because they buy them all and stash them away so that they can present them as rare and charge more for them than they would ever be worth if they were actually just as common as they are.
What is this company you're talking about?
De Beers.
De Beers, okay. Yeah.
They are like kind of the diamond company. That's where most, pretty much every commercial diamond is a De Beers diamond.
That's some bullshit. So basically monopolizing the diamond industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And driving the price of an otherwise kind of medium rare gem sky high because they had access to more of them than anybody else. So they just started buying up anything else they could get. They can drive the value sky high. Nobody else can do much about it.
Wow. Okay, so they're not rare.
Colored diamonds are more rare just because in order to get certain colors, you have to have the right combination of minerals in the earth when it's formed.
Yeah.
So somewhat rare, but at the time there was they were mining so many diamonds out of India, and there was not that much way to trace any of them. So it could be the same one. And maybe, you know, because it was the right color blue.
Yeah.
But it's really just kind of assumed that this is the diamond. Because nobody else has seen any others like it, I guess. So he sells the diamond to King George IV. And it was worn as part of his royal costume. Regalia?
Is that what that's called?
Instead of costume, I think it's regalia.
Well, you're asking the wrong person. Like, you would know that.
I think it's regalia. We're going with it.
Okay.
So the British king, not great with money. So when after he dies, they have to sell the blue diamond to pay off debts.
Mm.
And he sold it to Henry Philippe Hope, who was a diamond collector, and the reason that it's called the Hope Diamond.
Okay.
He had it set with a pearl hanging from it. And he actually just called it Blue Diamond. He called it Number One, but then it became known as the Hope Diamond years down the road because they were a wealthy, well-known family.
Yeah.
It was inherited by his heirs. So, like I said, there's a lot of tragedy. It's inherited, and then one of his descendants, this says he bet badly on horses, business enterprises, and an American showgirl wife.
What?
I'm just going to say that I figure the bet on the showgirl wife was the worst one of the three.
Yeah.
And that's, it ends up being true because he lost his fortune and his wife, and had to go through a whole series of court cases before he was allowed to sell the Hope Diamond to a New York jeweler. But it was overvalued, so it sat in their vault. And then in the 1907 banker's panic, they went bankrupt because he had these diamonds, but they weren't worth anything and they didn't have any money.
Yeah.
So the first time it's really mentioned as being unlucky is connected to the crash and kind of in the financial papers.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's when it's initially, this is why I'm not sure if Cartier invented it or if he just sort of ramped it up a notch.
Yeah.
Because so far it's pretty much just been a lot of financial ruin. But at the same time, I feel like if your business is buying diamonds, like, it's probably going to happen anyway.
Right.
Like, it's not exactly like the safest enterprise. But so at this point, they kind of start blaming, they blame the executions of Louis XIV and Marie Antoinette on it. They blamed Hope's bankruptcy and divorce on it. The collapse of the jeweler. They kind of start saying this is all the influence of the diamond.
Mm.
So then this is when the Cartier brothers acquire it because they get it at a bargain.
Yeah.
Of course, because, you know, it's like buying a foreclosed house. And then this is when he kind of ramps up. I think he just ramps up the story in order to just create interest around it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the early 1900s. There was not, you know, they chose to be entertained by some really strange things.
In the early 1900s?
Yeah, and mysterious diamonds just feels like,
yeah,
just the thing. The Cartiers eventually convince a wealthy couple, the McLeans, to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of when he's really, like, embellishing this story to make it, like, a conversation piece and in order to get this wealthy woman to want to buy a diamond. I mean, how else would you do that but create a cursed story? I'm not sure why that would entice someone to buy a thing, but hey, whatever.
Well, some people are like that. They're like that enchanted by shit like that.
That is true. I try to avoid buying cursed things.
Same, because I really, I love to sleep, and anything that could mess that up is not in my life.
Fair. So, Evelyn McLean wears the diamond in all of the fancy extravagant parties she goes to. Mm-hmm. And her 10-year-old son gets struck and killed by a car near their estate in Washington, D.C. So just so we're clear on how rich these people are, they have an estate in Washington, D.C. So again, they, you know, the newspapers talk about how maybe the Hope Diamond truly is cursed. This is all during the time period that the other things that are really in vogue are acquiring treasures that come from other places, i.e. like looted mm-hmm. burial chambers, which we're going to talk about, guys.
Yes, eventually. We are.
So it's kind of the popular thing to have these things that, you know, have, mm-hmm. you're right, like some people just like that kind of shit. And this is kind of the thing, is to have this stuff that comes from other places that you basically stole. It ultimately gets into Harry Winston's hands, the famous jeweler, and he's the one who donates it to the Smithsonian where it is now.
Okay.
So now it's in a setting, the setting that looks like the heart of the ocean mm-hmm. with the diamonds around it. This is the Cartier setting. And now the diamond is 45.52 carats and it's surrounded by 16 1.5-carat diamonds. And then a necklace, like the entire necklace is diamonds. It has 42 diamonds and it's all set in platinum.
And where is it located now?
At the Smithsonian.
Where is that?
In D.C.
In D.C. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I've been there. I've probably seen it. Probably like, oh, that's a cool diamond.
But that was like, the only time I've been to D.C. was on that like infamous 8th grade D.C. trip.
Everybody did that?
Everybody does that. Everybody in the wide world. And
if you haven't done that, let us know. Like, that's weird.
Yeah, it's like, that's not a thing where you live. If you didn't do it, look, all you missed was basically not having any sleep and being rushed through all of these, like,
I remember driving up there in a bus. Historic and amazing
places.
They probably didn't do it if they were in Hawaii, but yes.
Yeah, it's all, it's like, they always, they just, they wanted to tire you out so much that you weren't going to be a problem. And so, like, all I really remember is being herded like cattle through these museums. But I just want to like hang out and look at everything.
I do remember so vividly. We went for like a day, rode a bus up there from North Carolina to DC, which is probably like 8 hours or I don't know. Spent the day walking around and then drove back that night on a bus.
Oh my God. See, when I did, I don't even remember. It was like a spring break thing, and it was like, it was like 3 or 4 days.
You know, when we went, though, it's the exact same time frame where the sniper was shooting. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if that had anything to do with us not staying.
Maybe.
I'm surprised my parents fucking let me go on that. They're like, yeah, there is a sniper right now in D.C. Let me sign this permission slip.
I'll be fine. I mean, what are the chances you could pick Caroline out of the rest of them?
Right. Okay. It's just shooting from tall buildings, people getting into their cars. No big deal.
Not a big problem at all.
So it's in the Smithsonian in D.C. if you want to see it.
And the Smithsonian is very vehement that they feel not at all cursed by it. In fact, the curator says that since the arrival of the Hope Diamond, the National Gem Collection has grown steadily in size and stature and is today considered by many to be the finest public display of gems in the world. For the Smithsonian, the Hope Diamond has been a source of good luck, which I think is just really kind of nice.
How long has it been there?
It was Cold War era when they acquired it. What? I don't know exactly what year.
Well, I would say, I mean, if nothing's happened to them, but it could be something really small, like a staff member dies. I don't know.
Here's something wild, though. When Harry Winston sold it to the Smithsonian, he sent it through the mail. He just mailed it.
What the fuck?
So, and here's the year. It was 1958. On November 10th of 1958, Winston sent through the U.S. mail in a box wrapped in brown paper a simple registered mail insured for $1 million at a cost of $145.29, of which $2.44 was for postage and the balance was for insurance.
What?
So for $143, they would insure a package for $1 million. I really think that the U.S. Postal Service has lost some confidence in themselves. And I just think that maybe we should work on getting that back for them.
I love the U.S. Postal Service.
They were so sure that that box was going to get there. They were like, yes, we will pay you $1 million if you give us 143 and we don't get it there.
You know, to be fair, I've never had a package lost with the USPS, but Amazon constantly losing my packages.
But Amazon ships through USPS.
Not all the time. They have their own people. Really?
Well, they do, but I feel like everything from Amazon comes from USPS for me.
Most of the time we get an Amazon
warehouse that I get. You know what I mean? Like most of your stuff comes from the same warehouse.
Yeah.
It's probably just the warehouse.
That's true.
But so I started researching this thinking that there was like this, like it was like a cursed item. And I 100% don't think so anymore.
No, I don't. I've heard about it.
Like through the years, rich people had rich people problems. rich people who bought a big ass diamond had rich people problems. Mm-hmm. Is my takeaway from this whole situation. Like, yeah, I mean, some bad things happen to some people, but it just doesn't feel cursey to me.
I don't think so after hearing this. And yeah, I don't think it's cursed.
I don't either. And I'm a little disappointed. Like, I kind of wanted a cursed diamond situation. But at the same time, I didn't want to, once I started researching and I kind of got into it and was like, it's not cursed at all. I started to do something else and then I'm like, no, sometimes the thing's just not cursed.
But it was a good story and it's still considered cursed. So obviously, I mean.
And I still want to think that the real one is out there somewhere and that the one in the Smithsonian is just a completely different diamond.
Which is totally fucking possible.
Totally. Look, if you are an 86-year-old woman and, oh wait, she was way older than that, a 90-something-year-old woman, and you were in possession of a giant diamond that a boy on a boat gave you, please let us know.
Okay, so that was our mystery. So next week is going to be our true crime, right?
Yes. And what I'll just give you a hint that the movie tie-in is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I have no idea what that is.
It's a Quentin Tarantino movie, and it is brilliant, and everyone should see it.
Do you think that everyone who, like, listens to you make a movie reference, and then they hear me say, oh, I've never seen that before, they're like, uncultured bitch.
Either that, or they're like, God damn, do you just do nothing but watch movies?
I really do
not. I figure everybody's one or the other. Either you're the movie people, or you're the, no, I really just didn't invest the time to watch that people.
I think it's divided 50-50. I don't really watch much TV, but lately, it's like I got Discovery Plus. Do you have that?
I don't yet.
Oh, you need to get it. So I've been watching Bigfoot Expeditions, and mm-hmm. I'm not usually a fan of like Bigfoot shows because I feel like, Piper, go lay down. I feel like it's always just like hunters and it's dramatized. But this is... This is really cool because it's like...
There's a show we have to talk about in a second, but carry on.
Okay, it's like four people, and they're using some really, really, like, advanced technology. And I don't know. It's pretty cool. I'm on season two and I really, really like it. So I think everybody should go watch it and just see what they think. Okay. What were you going to talk about?
The spicy raisin attacked me.
No.
Okay. So first, is Bigfoot Expedition the one with the girl with the short hair and the glasses?
No.
Okay. I like her. I don't know why. She just comes off as smart to me. Whatever show she's on.
Piper, you're not right now. Ducky doesn't need you to lick its butthole. It doesn't need it.
Her ears. She's like, I don't know. I'm not sure you're right.
I'm pretty sure you're telling me that you want to go play, but okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the show that I said we have to talk about, because you were talking about Bigfoot shows being kind of ridiculous, is it? I think it's called Mountain Men? Mountain Monsters.
Mountain Monsters. Have you heard of it? No, I've heard of it. Have you seen it?
It's the funny shit.
Is it just a bunch of grown men out in the wilderness at night scaring themselves?
But you have to watch this. It's the funniest thing ever. Not only are they scaring themselves, but it is like, it is 100% dramatized. Oh, it is not a documentary at all. It is basically a spoof of a documentary. And these dudes play it so straight.
Do you know what it's on?
I wanted to say Discovery, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, I'm going to look it up really quick. I'm going to try and watch it. I just can't stand shit like that.
It normally I can't either, but it's so. If I felt like they were trying to pass it off as serious, I would be super irritated by it. But I just feel that they're very committed to their parts. And they play it so straight, like they take it so seriously, and yet it's so obviously not serious that it is hysterical.
It's on Travel Channel and okay, Hulu if anybody wants to watch it. I'm gonna check it out.
Do yourself a favor, please watch. You will if you watch this and you don't think it's funny, please tell me, because I know I have a weird sense of humor. But this show made me laugh so hard.
Well, now I have to watch it. Say
that I have never seen a very large white boy scramble up a hill carrying a loaded weapon that fast before in my whole life.
Oh my God, they're out in the woods with just like weapons, like hunting Bigfoot.
Yes.
Or just like monsters. Loaded
guns just everywhere. There's usually some fucking fireworks. They build traps Scooby-Doo style. Like, you cannot beat this show.
So it's totally different from the one I'm watching.
Yes. The one you're watching, they actually legitimately try to do scientific research. These dudes are just like hillbillies running around the woods.
Oh my God.
But they're funny. But tell us more about your cryptids for this week. Are we talking about Bigfoot this week? Are we there?
I have two things to say about so far, because we've done three states. I'm going to do three more today. And I feel like there are some legit state cryptids out there, but I feel like trying to look for one in every state, which I'm still going to do, a lot of them are Bigfoot-esque. Like, They all kind of sound, which really, maybe that's the reason I started watching more Bigfoot things, because, like, there's a fuck ton of these sightings.
But here's the thing. Like, I don't want to skip over those necessarily because...
No, we're not going to.
They're similar and they're very Bigfoot-esque instead of being unique. Mm-hmm. I kind of love that it's kind of everywhere.
Yeah, it really is. Because, okay, so we had the Alabama white thing was a little different because it's white. But it's still...
It could be an albino.
Yeah, exactly. It's still 8 feet tall. Reproductive
genes exist.
Red eyes and its hair instead of fur. And then we had the Alaska one was like in the sea. But then the Arizona Mogollon monster was 7 foot tall, red eyes, long brown hair. You know, that's another Bigfoot one.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, is the Arkansas Falk Monster. Okay. So in the Ozarks of Arkansas, in Falk, I think that, I don't know if it's Falk County or if that's the name of the town. There's been a ton of sightings and they've named it the Falk Monster. It's been seen by countless people, including respected citizens, experienced hunters, because that's the Ozarks. I mean, that's a lot of like hunting ground right there.
Yeah.
Famous musicians, police officers, and most of the people said that when they saw it, it ran like a man, which creeped them out the most. Because when you think of something immediately, I would think bear. But a bear does not run on 2 feet. I don't think they do.
If they do, that would be scary as hell.
I hope you guys heard that screaming baby outside my window.
I didn't hear it. That's possibly a good sign.
We have a toddler moving in upstairs. A fucking toddler.
But you're about to move.
We are, yeah. Kids. All right. So a newspaper article in the 1970s gave this monster its claim to fame. There's actually a documentary and a few different movies that gain like worldwide attention. But one of them, I did not get the name of it, but it played at a drive-in movie. And actually the whole time it ran at the drive-in movie, it made $25 million. And it was just a documentary about this monster.
That's wild.
I know. And I'm pretty sure it was the Boggy Creek Monster.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, hold on, let me look it up real quick. Creek.
Also, I weirdly want a movie poster from that now.
Movie, right?
Is it still acceptable? Can I still put movie posters in my house? Am I too much of a grown-up? Are there rules?
I don't want to do that. The Legend of Boggy Creek, 1972. It's a documentary.
I've heard of that.
Yep.
Yeah. Now I want to watch it. I don't think I've ever actually seen it.
Let's see what the reviews are on IMDb. Oh, a 5.2. Okay. But it was 1972. Anyway, so in the 70s, it kind of gained its fame. But the first sighting was in 1908, and then the latest one was in 2014. Here's the specifics. The monster said to be between 7 and 10 feet tall. He has red eyes and long brown hair. A lot of the witnesses say that he swings his arms like a monkey and he smells of wet dog mixed with skunk, which in pretty much every Bigfoot witness recalling, they say that it smells like wet dog mixed with skunk.
In Louisiana, it's the skunk ape.
Yeah. Yeah. So, his ground zero, if you want to call it that, is the Boggy Creek, which is in that small town in Arkansas. So an eyewitness, this is a video I watched, recalls that he had grown up, like his family had been in the Ozark area for over 100 years. So he grew up there, he knew the area, and he thought he knew every animal that could inhabit that area. So he went out one morning on, I believe, Boggy Creek to go fishing. And it was 6 a.m. and it was really foggy, but then the fog started to clear on the shoreline. And he said he saw a really large, what looked to be like a man fishing or kicking around debris, like throwing and kicking stuff out of the water, like almost like he was trying to catch a fish. Mm-hmm. And he said it was not human. It was humanoid because it was on 2 feet, but it was extremely furry. It was like 7 to 10 feet tall. You know, it smelled and it was like acting like a wild animal the way it was trying to like kick up the water. Mm-hmm. And that was his like eyewitness account. But to me, that sounds like Bigfoot.
Or a bear.
Or a bear, yeah. But if you're an experienced hunter and you've lived in that area for so long, do you think you would know what a bear looks like? I think I would.
I think so, but at the same time, you know, if it's not moving in a normal way for some reason, or you don't have like, you know, if you're not 100% sure of your perspective, or if something's like interfering with your perspective, like weird weather or whatever, like fog.
I also need to know how tall bears are when they're standing up, because I don't know that.
Bears can easily be 7 feet tall when they're standing up.
That's terrifying.
And that's the other thing I was going to say. Just because you're experienced and have been in the area doesn't necessarily mean you've been that close to a bear in real life before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's one of those things that's like always bigger than you thought.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I feel like any animal when I see it is like that. I had no idea. I knew giraffes were big, but they're fucking huge.
They are huge.
Also, emus. Whatever they're called.
Horrifying.
They're so fucking big.
Look, those things are dinosaurs.
Is it an ostrich?
Ostriches are bigger than emus, I think.
Okay. There's something in our zoo here in Alabama. I'm not going to say the city I'm in. And they have them grouped together in like a... I think it's ostrich and giraffe. They're in the same, like, habitat.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so you get to see
them. I mean, for the giraffes, the ostriches are terrifying.
And it's not enclosed. Like, they can come up to the fence. Like, mm-hmm. It's just like a fence. Not a big deal. And they can, like, reach over. And that's the most terrifying part.
With the ostriches or with the giraffes?
The ostriches. The giraffes are kind of shy.
Really? Are giraffes here, like, eat out of your hand?
Well, they've had that closed off the past year because of...
I'm sure they have here, too.
Yeah, anything that involved touching animals, they just don't have anymore, which kind of stinks, but...
They redesigned... I know we're not talking about giraffes, and we're distracted.
That's what we do.
They redesigned the giraffe thing here, and now they, like... super micromanage the whole, like, feed a giraffe. First of all, you used to be able to feed them cookies. Now they won't let you feed them cookies. You have to feed them leaves. And the giraffes, I'm sure, are not 100% happy about that. Then they're, like, all, like, real, like, micromanagey about, like, you can put it in your hand. You can't touch them. You can't, like, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, baby, this exact giraffe has been eating out of my hand since before you were born. So I'm going to need you to take 2 steps back.
Like, wow.
I know this giraffe. Okay. Bye-bye.
When we first moved to the area, we went to the zoo, and it's when everything was still open, and they had a baby elephant where you could feed the baby elephants, and they would give you, like, apples and stuff to, like, throw into the pen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my dumbass grabbed the apple, and, like, I was not aiming it, and I fucking threw it right at this baby elephant's head, and everybody stared at me. Like, I was,
like...
the devil.
The horrible person that just hit the baby elephant with an apple.
And Rich looked at me like he didn't know me. He was like, oh. Not with her.
Like, who are you here with, ma'am?
Okay, so next on our list is California. And as I was, like, doing research, there's a fuck ton of cryptids supposedly that are in California.
California, but what are you doing?
What?
I said, California, what are y'all doing?
Well, it's a big
Why
ass
do you
state.
Have so many cryptids?
It's a big ass state.
It is a big state. That's true.
So I wanted to do the Fresno Nightwalker.
I've never heard of this one.
I hadn't either until I started to get into podcast, and there's really not much on it because there's only been 2 actual, like, video recorded sightings. So he was first spotted. Let me kind of describe what it looks like. So, it looks extraterrestrial. So it's about 4 foot tall, and it's basically like 90% legs. Okay. And it walks like chopsticks. That's how, if you were to move chopsticks, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or, like, your fingers, like this.
I don't know why I'm so creeped out by this thing, but I really am.
Google it right now so you can see what I'm talking about. And it appears to have no arms, and then, like, the top of it is just, like, the small head on top of it. And the way it moves is really, like, slow, and you can see. It almost looks like it has some kind of fabric on its legs, the way that the legs move. Tell me when you see it. We'll pause.
Okay, I'm less creeped out now that I'm looking at it, for the record.
But are you looking at the animated version?
I'm looking at
the animated version.
Okay, one of these, I'm not 100% sure if this is actually That I can't tell if that's tagged as a Fresno night walk or if it's just pulling up in the images. One of these looks like Dobby the house elf.
Oh no.
Like 100% just like a house elf.
Fresno.
I can't tell if that's supposed to be one of the night crawlers, night walker. They call it both, right? Night crawler and night walker.
I don't think it's called the night walker.
Sorry.
It's like a ghost with hella fucking long legs.
Yeah.
Okay, so
some of these images, it's really hard to tell which ones are meant to be serious and which ones aren't.
Some of them have really sexy long legs. Okay, so it was first spotted on our surveillance camera in a man's backyard in the 90s. What?
This caption calls it haunted pants.
That's what it's been called, yeah. Because it looks like a pair of like flowy pants.
Okay, look, 90s babies, y'all, raise your hand. Imagine hammer pants in white with no human.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
Haunted hammer pants.
Okay, so it's first spotted on our surveillance camera in a man's backyard in the 90s. It's only been spotted one other time, and it was actually on surveillance camera in 2011 by a couple who people kept coming onto their property because they had a really great view of Yosemite National Park. So they wanted to, like, catch the people coming onto their property, but they actually caught this. And I recommend I will try and link the videos to these two sightings because it's really eerie to watch. If you can, Google the one at Yosemite and just watch it really quick, Susan, because I think it's like super eerie.
It's eerie, but it's also, I don't know. Okay, here's what bothers me. It can't be a person in a costume.
No. So what I was going to say is the show Fact or Fake. It was a TV show on Sci-Fi. Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch that?
I remember that show.
So they did an episode trying to debunk it, and they did a whole bunch of different, like, scenarios where they did, like, a puppet that was being controlled. They did a child. They did a whole bunch, and they concluded that it was unexplainable. And they weren't going to say that it was, like, a cryptid or an alien, but they're like, we can't explain how this is happening. The backyard one is really weird to me. It's really grainy because it was in the 90s, but it's weird. Did you watch it?
Sorry. The first video is like, what's going on with the Fresno Sears? I guarantee you no one cared 2 years ago, nor do they care now.
Sears.
I forgot Sears existed already.
I know. Rich the other day said he needed some more basketball shorts. And I was like, well, do you want me to get some from TJ Maxx? He's like, no, I think I might go to Sears. I was like, when the fuck is the last time you bought basketball shorts? Because I'm pretty sure Sears is not even, I know they went bankrupt.
They did. That's literally true. This is like viewer discretion advised.
Really? Wow.
Beware the haunted pants.
Is it so beware the haunted pants?
I can't ever take anything seriously. But look, once you call it haunted pants, it just, like, it loses a little bit of that mystique. Okay, let's see. Oh, gosh. Yeah, this must be the one. It's so grainy.
Mm-hmm.
How far apart are these again?
It just said that one was in the 90s. That's all it said. And the one on the surveillance was in 2011.
That's a pretty, I mean, like, they're not, it's not like it was, like, one hoax. I mean, I guess it could be, like, somebody's playing the really long game. But it can't be, like, one hoax. It's not like it happened, like, in a few months or something. That's a decent amount of time.
Yeah, it is. I think that one is odd because it's not, like, most cryptids, when you think of them, are animal-like. You know, and this to me is not anything like an animal. It's, if anything, it's extraterrestrial. But there are some people who think it's just an unrecognized species of something, or if, like, deer walking on their back legs, which I've never known a deer to do. To me, those don't seem...
That's a hell of a lot scarier than an extraterrestrial.
Yeah, it is.
I feel the same way as I felt the first time I found out that there were zombie deer.
What?
There are zombie deer.
What does that mean? They eat deer?
Uh-huh.
Why does that happen? How does that happen?
It's a certain type of, I think it may be part of wasting disease that deer can get. I think, and I'm not exactly sure what that means. That's just what they call it, wasting disease.
Yeah.
I think that's why, but they're like literally like they don't, their brains don't work anymore, and they will cannibalize other deer, and they're very scary. The first time my best friend's a hunter, and that's not my thing.
Yeah.
So we don't talk about it until it's food.
Yeah. Right.
But
as it should be.
Of it, and I'm like, these ones, you can take these out.
Can you know when you see them?
Yeah, they look weird.
I don't like that
and
at all.
Apparently, of course, really good experienced hunters, one of the things they're always looking for is if there's an animal that's injured or sick or whatever. So maybe when, I don't know. Like I said, very much not my thing. To think about it. But yeah, the zombie deer, terrifying. Deer walking on their back legs would also be pretty fucking terrifying.
I wish there was more on this one. I just think it's so interesting that...
It's unique. It doesn't look like anything else.
Right, exactly. It is unique. Okay, so we're moving on to Colorado. And Colorado has the one I found and kind of wanted to put out there was the Slide Rock Bolter. So Colorado is one of, like, the number one places for Bigfoot sightings because it's mountainous. You know, there's a lot of places to hide. So, of course, I could have talked about that, but this one, I first saw a picture of it, and I was like, what the fuck? That's a dick on a mountain. That's exactly what it looks like to me, a dick on a mountain. And let me explain it.
Googling now.
So, it's like a mountain whale, and supposedly it has, like, a dolphin tail, but they're hooks, and they latch onto the back of the mountain. And they will eat anything that comes in their path. They have sharp teeth, and their ability to quickly slide down a mountainside is what hunters and miners from the 1800s claim to have seen. And there had been other sightings too. And so I'm doing the research, and I'm like watching YouTube videos just to see like other opinions on it, to see if there were recent sightings. And I kept reading comments, and people from Colorado were like, they're just describing avalanches.
Yeah. As I'm looking at this, I'm like, this just looks like a personified avalanche.
It's like in the 1800s, they were just fucking drinking constantly and just, what do they call it? Like Colorado rock whiskey, like what miners drank.
Oh, and they just know, but that sounds like bad.
Yeah, they just saw avalanches and were like, oh God, it's the Slide Rock Bolter.
I'm in love with this.
But for real, it's a dick on a mountain.
The pictures are hysterical. They just look like, it's like if an avalanche was also a shark.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about that one. I mean, we kind of talked about Bigfoot, and you know I love Bigfoot. Everybody knows I love Bigfoot.
But, like, noted that Colorado also has Bigfoot.
Yes.
You know, in case anybody's keeping track.
And I'll do like I did last week. I'll post the pictures, in like the drawings and stuff of these cryptids. Because I think that everybody needs to see the Fresno Nightcrawler to understand what I'm talking about and what we're talking about when we say it's unique. And then also the Colorado Slide Rock Bolter, because everybody needs to see it and get a good laugh.
Absolutely. The Nightcrawler thing is definitely very, like, it's creepy, but it's also kind of comical. Like, yeah. That's, like, almost like that's how it draws you in.
Well, and so I was, when I was, like, doing some reading and stuff, and I was watching YouTube videos, and I was looking at images online, there's so many, like, animated drawings that make it really cute and lovable.
Yeah.
And I, that's what
kinda
I love.
Like cartoon Loch Ness Monsters, which
yeah.
I love, just for the record.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I'm going to keep that on my list of things to always be checking in on to see if there's more videos or sightings or anything like that.
It kind of looks, the people that said it might be an undiscovered species, it looks like a, like, if anything, it moves like a bird.
Yeah, it really does. It's got long, long, skinny legs, but then you, it's just like, it's all legs.
Yeah.
It's almost like rounded at the top, like someone lost their bottom half.
That's,
you know?
That really is what it looks like.
With what
I just wonder, I wonder if there's any way that cranes can move like that, like, so that you wouldn't really see, but like, if the whitest part of them shows up on the, because it's all security footage. Yeah. So, like, the whitest part of their feathers is what's showing up, and the rest of it's just kind of getting lost in the background.
Are cranes 4 foot tall? And are they in Yosemite Crane National Park?
Big.
I did know that, but, like, 4 foot? That's almost as tall as me.
Okay, not quite.
It's, like, only a foot away. That is pretty big, though. I mean, that's a possibility. That is a possibility. But in the first video, not the Yosemite, but the one that's in Fresno, yeah, it looks cranes a little more like... Big. Oh, they can?
Yeah.
But their legs look wide. Like, it looks like they have harem pants on.
It does, but I'm just wondering if that could be, like...
Lag?
Feathers?
Feathers? I need to look up and see what a crane looks like right now. Crane. Oh, it's the bird.
Yeah, the first time it was like, how tall is what kind of crane, dumbass? Sorry.
No, I'm going to say no because their legs are dark.
Yeah.
And when you look on the video, the whole fucking leg is white.
I mean, what if it's just a kind of crane that nobody's recognized, or that, like, a gray crowned crane has a 6.6 foot wingspan.
Oh, my God.
That's...
These are monsters.
Yeah.
And we're just letting them fly
these
around.
These are dinosaurs.
These are straight-up dinosaurs, and we're letting them steal hot dogs from little girls at the beach in Florida. We're just letting them around.
Are we a bit traumatized?
You don't understand. It was taller than me. I really wanted that hot dog.
Look, don't take my hot dog.
So yeah, we just don't know, but maybe we will one day. It's almost like all the skinwalkers that you hear of, like people seeing them, but I've never seen one.
Dude, that's one of the things that legit creeps me out a little bit.
Yeah. And there's so much that we just don't know. Like, okay, everyone's convinced that we know every single species on the earth, but there's so much in uninhabited land.
I'm calling a quick timeout. Y'all, if you are a person who thinks that we know every single species on this planet, please stop being stupid. That's not real. Like, that's quantifiably not a thing.
That's why I love this show that I'm watching so much, because they gather every single sighting that's happened since Bigfoot was first sighted. They've put it all into this database, and they've narrowed down. I think the first season they went to Oregon, because that's what the database told them. At this point in time, this 3-week time span, you have the highest chance of seeing Bigfoot. And they went, and girl, the evidence that they got, they didn't see it, but the evidence, like, it's crazy.
For me, the thing with cryptids is it's so much more likely to be real in some form. It may not be exactly what people, like, the chupacabra always comes to mind when it's like, that can't be real. Okay. In the way that it's talked about in like legends, no, it's not, but there probably is some sort of undiscovered creature that people are seeing.
Yeah.
It's just not like, do I really think that it specifically sucks the blood of goats? No. That's what it does.
Also,
it's
I don't think probably a lot of people, a type of
predator or some sort of, you know, mutation of coyote or something.
I think a lot of people don't know what a dog with mange looks like.
That's definitely true.
Because that
is definitely true.
Or a bear with mange. Like, what the fuck? Or like, you told me I looked that up.
Oh my God. I'm sorry.
I had my nightmares. Apologies.
That's terrible and no one should look it up.
Don't look it up. But I mean, yeah, so that you just don't know. You don't know. And I love the possibility of, I fucking love it. It's like a high for me.
It's the giant squid thing though for me.
Yeah.
Like, for so long, that was 100% treated basically in the same category of, like, you know, sea tails as mermaids. That's how much it was considered a not real thing, which, by the way, mermaids are real. Nobody argue with me.
Okay, well, I'm going to need you to back that up.
It's because it just is, and that's the way it is.
Okay.
I refuse to require evidence for this. I choose to believe it because the world is a better place with mermaids.
Shit, I was just about to say something, Susan. It wasn't about mermaids.
I was going to say, was it about mermaids or giant squids?
Giant squids. That was pretty recent.
It was fairly recent. And it's exactly the way sailors have been describing it for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And those stories were written off like they were talking about a completely made-up sea monster.
Yeah.
And that thing is real. And it looks exactly like what they said it looked like.
Yeah. So the possibility's out there.
Absolutely.
But yeah, those were the three states I did this week.
What are we doing next time?
Well, it's going in alphabetical order.
Yeah, I know, but I don't have it in front of me. And don't ask me to tell you which the next one is.
Hold on. Let me Google states in alphabetical order.
Delaware? I think it's Delaware.
Delaware, Connecticut. All I can think about is that TikTok trend.
Oh, no, wait. We have to have Connecticut. Okay, wait, so we have to have...
It's okay, Connecticut, Delaware, and Florida. And I might do Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, because I feel like Florida and Georgia are going to have some pretty similar... You know, it's like similar terrain and like weather. So, and then it's Hawaii. I'm interested about Hawaii.
I'm interested in all of these. This is fun.
I think it is too. And even if 50% of them are Bigfoot-esque, it's still fun to think about. That's still
interesting. It's interesting to hear the different stories and the different, you know, like what's different about them.
You ready to do the outro?
Yes.
Thank you so much for the continued support. Please find and follow us at Wild and Woke Pod on Instagram and Twitter. We have a great page on Facebook at facebook.com/wildandwokepodcast. If you're looking for bonus content, early episode releases, and free merch, find us on Patreon at patreon.com/wildandwokepodcast. We have a new Patreon. I forgot to tell you that.
Yay!
Yeah, his name is Philip, and he's on our $3 tier, which means he gets the episodes early, he gets a logo sticker, and he's just supporting us. That's basically what that tier is. Yeah.
Thank you.
And of course, if you have any weird stories, creepy, like, you can't believe that fucking happened moments, please tell us. We want to share them and hear them, and our email is wildandwokepodcast@gmail.com.
And remember, all stories start somewhere. Be wild, stay woke, and question everything.